Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. Before we start this perek, we need to remind ourselves where we're holding politically and where we're holding literarily. First, politically. This perek takes place in the sixth year since Galut Yehoyachin, 6 years since Galut HaCharash Bamasger, where Nebuchadnezzar exiled all of the upper class, anyone who could possibly ferment a rebellion, to Babel, along with King Yehoyachin. In his stead, Nebuchadnezzar appointed his uncle, Tzidkio, Yehoyachin's uncle. Tzidkio was a brother of Yehoyakim, who was Yehoyachin's father, and he's a son of Yoshio, the third son of Yoshio to rule. This is all background from Yirmiyahu and Malachim. Tzidkio is a weak king. He is appointed as a vassal king, and his job is really to just be subservient to Nebuchadnezzar. And this is also what Yirmiyahu was telling all the kings to do, that Hashem wants them to submit to Nebuchadnezzar. He wants them to accept that this is their punishment. The occupation of Israel by Babylon is a punishment for Hashem, and don't fight it. If you fight it, then clearly you're not accepting it as a punishment. After Yehoyachin was taken into Kalut, along with the Charash Bamasker, the artisans, there were a lot of Nevi'ei Sheker that said that this was just very temporary and that they're coming back. One of the most famous was Hananiah ben Azor, who in the fourth year after this happened, said that Babylon was going to fall in 2 years, in the sixth year of Tzidkio. He was an extremely influential Navi. And perhaps Tzidkio was also influenced by him, because around this time in the sixth year, Tzidkio starts to make connections with other nations that are around him. We see this in Yirmiyahu, Perek of Zion, to think about rebelling against Babel, to join together as a bloc, and perhaps they can take on the Babylonian Empire. And they have the backing of these Nevi'ei Sheker. And again, remember, it was very hard to know who was the Nevi Emet and who was the Nevi Sheker, who was the false prophet and who was the real prophet, especially when you had a political agenda that was being supported by the false prophets. Yirmiyahu responds to this by making a yoke and wearing it. He also sends yokes to all these other nations and tells them, do not rebel against Babylonia. And around this time is when they decide that they are. That's where we're holding politically. The year is 591. The Chorban is going to be in 586, so in 5 more years. Our literary background is that we are now in a group of Mishalim. We are in a group of parables, where Yirmiyahu is telling either a story or an idea, a mashal in the beginning, and then he explains it. And this is the third. So Perek Tetvav, chapter 15, was the mashal with the grapevine that was useless and burnt. Perek 16 was that very, very long mashal of the abandoned baby who became an adulterous woman. And this perek is going to be a mashal as well. And it's actually going to take parts of each of those mashalim that came before us. Here's the mashal. So it starts off with telling Chizkiel, excuse me, Hashem telling Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Chud Chida, U'mashal Mashal, El Beit Yisrael. Son of man, make a riddle and speak a parable to Beit Yisrael. And here's the parable that he says. Here's the mashal. Va'amarta pasukimol. Here's what you should say. Ko amar Hashem Elokim. Hanesher hagadol, gadol haknafayim, erach ha'ever malei hanotza, asher lo harikma, ba el halavanon, vaykachat tzemeret ha'erez. There's this great eagle with great wings and long feathers with a beautiful plume, and he has various colors, and he comes to Lebanon, and he picks off the top of a cedar tree. And he takes this cedar tree, and he takes him away to a different city. It's actually called Eretz Canaan, but it does not mean Israel here. All the Mefarshim interpret Eretz Canaan as a place of merchants, a land of trade. The pasuk goes on, Be'ir Rochlim, in a place where people do a lot of business. And he takes, in its stead, he takes from Zerah Ha'aretz, he takes from the seeds of the earth, and he plants these seeds into the ground. And these seeds grow and they become a vine, a lowly vine, but it's a good vine. It's as vines go, we know that vines are not so strong, but this one is a good vine and it has roots under it and it becomes a vine that grows. And the vine is there instead of the erez, instead of the great cedar tree. And the vine thinks to itself, you know, maybe life could be better. And he sees another nesher, another eagle. Pasuk zayin, v'hi nesher echad gadol knafayim v'rov notza. There's another eagle, also has great wings, and also has many feathers. And the vine says, huh, maybe that eagle can help me. So he bends towards that eagle and begs from that eagle, asking him to take him away, make me better. And says the pasuk, this vine was planted right next to water. And now it's just going, it was a gefen aderet. It was a very beautiful vine. And Hashem says to, in this mashal, Amar ko amar Hashem Elokim in pasuk tet, titzlach? Do you think that this is going to be successful? Do you want this nesher to uproot you? Do you want this eagle to take you away? Don't you realize that that's going to uproot your vines and cut off your fruit? And do you think that this is really going to work? V'hine shitula hatitzlach. And what if it doesn't even get uprooted? What if it stays shitula? What if it stays planted? Hatitzlach? Do you think that this is a good plan for this vine? Don't you realize that the east wind is going to come and it's going to dry it all up? That's the mashal. And the pasuk explains the mashal. The pasuk explains that this mashal is actually about Tzidkiyahu himself. It's about King Tzidkiyahu. And the nesher is, the first nesher is Bavel. Amor na lebeit hameri, says Yechezkel and Pasuk Yedbet. Tell this rebellious house, halo yadatem ma'ela. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Amor hinei ba melch bavel yushalayim, v'ikachet malka v'etzara, v'yavei otam elav bavel. The king of Babylon came to Bavel, and he took its king and its officers, and he brought them to Bavel. The first, the nesher, the eagle, is King Nebuchadnezzar, and he brought Yehoyachin to Bavel with him. And now he planted this lowly vine, this vine Tzidkiyahu. And he was supposed to be lowly. That was what his job was. But he wasn't happy with that. So he turns to a second nesher. He turns to a second eagle. And he thinks that Egypt is going to be the one that is really his savior. And of course, says Yechezkel, that's not going to work. That's not an outcome that's possible. So the issue that Yechezkel has with Tzidkiyahu in this passage is that Tzidkiyahu was breaking his covenant, breaking his brit with Nebuchadnezzar. As Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Vayikach mizera hamlucha, vayichrot oto brit, vayivei oto ba'ala, ve'et elei ha'aretz lakach. Tzidkiyahu is that seed, and he made a brit. He made a covenant with Nebuchadnezzar that he would be a vassal king. He would be a lowly king. He would not stop him. He wouldn't stand in his way. Liot mamlacha shvela, Pasuk Yedal. He's supposed to be a lowly kingdom. Levilni hit nasei. He's not supposed to be strong. Lishmor eprito la'amda. And that he's supposed to stand in his covenant. But he doesn't do that. Tzidkiyahu rebels against Nebuchadnezzar, and he thinks that Egypt is going to save him. He thinks this other eagle is going to come and swoop in. Hayitzlach, asks Yechezkel, is this possibly going to be successful? Hayimaleit, is he going to escape and become great from this? Ha'oseh ela v'hafer brit nimlat? Is somebody who makes a covenant, makes a swear, and then breaks it, could that person possibly be successful? And it seems to be said that what Yechezkel is saying here in this mashal is that You can't break a breed, even with Nebuchadnezzar. Tzidkiyahu is wrong, not just for not listening to Yirmiyahu. That's what Yirmiyahu is talking about, that I want you to accept your punishment. But Yechezkel's problem with Tzidkiyahu is that he broke his covenant. He broke his breed. And now we see that this actually helps us understand the connection between the previous two prakim. He uses the Geffen as a metaphor. That's from Parak Tet Vav. And now the mashal of breaking a breed, of unfaithfulness. That's from Parak Tet Zayin. And the question that, and that's the mashal, and that's the nimshal, and fine. But we're kind of left with a question, and that is, I understand Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is telling Tzidkiyahu, don't rebel against Babylonia, because Hashem wants you to have this punishment. And by not taking this punishment, you're showing that you're not sorry for what you did. But why is it such a big deal that Tzidkiyahu broke his breed with Babylonia? It's not a breed with Hashem. It's a breed with Babel, and now he wants to fight him. There's so many other sins going on. Why focus on this one? It seems like it's too small, especially in light of how the mashal was used in the past two parakim, how the Geffen is useless without the grapes of Tzedek and Mishpat, and how Bnei Yisrael broke the breed with Hashem. Rav Amnon Bazak asks this question. Breaking your breed with Nebuchadnezzar not to rebel, it just doesn't seem worthy of being the third of this in this series of parables. And perhaps the Radak looks at this question and he looks at it based on Divrei Hayamim. When Tzidkiyahu is anointed as king, it says about him in Divrei Hayamim in Parak 36, V'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, Asher hishpi'o be'elokim, that he swore to him with the name of God. And therefore, says the Radak, the issue here is that Tzidkiyahu broke a brit that he made with Shem Hashem. And therefore, whatever comes next needs to follow this swear. Breaking a swear with Hashem's name is very serious, especially when it's to another country, and it causes tremendous chil Hashem. And therefore, says Hashem in Pasuk Yotet, Lachin ko amar Hashem Elokim, Chai Hashem im lo alati asher baza ubriti asher hefir unatativ brosho. Therefore, Hashem says, as I live, my oath, it is my oath that he has despised and my covenant that he has broken, and I will bring it on his head. And perhaps that's because Tzidkiyahu used Shem Hashem when he made the brit. Rav Amnon Bazak brings a different explanation based on the work of Professor Moshe Greenberg, which is intimately connects this parak to the parak before. Perhaps Tzidkiyahu breaking his brit should not be read separately from the parak about Bnei Yisrael breaking their brit with Hashem, but rather as an outgrowth. The Jews at the time were completely untrustworthy. They broke their brit with everyone, Hashem and humans. And I would add that this idea relates to the first mashal as well, the vine with no grapes, which symbolizes a corrupt society, which happens when people are totally untrustworthy and break their brit with each other, the basic social contract that says that people won't rob and steal from each other, they won't oppress each other, that they won't do Hamas, wanton stealing. This was the basis of the brit that Hashem made with Avraham, that he would be a great nation in order that his children could be a model of tzedek and mishpat. Therefore, suggests Rav Bazak, perhaps there's another explanation for the mashal, a way to read it that's beyond the pshat. And the idea that to do this is would follow the opening of this parak, which is not just Ben Adam give a mashal, but Ben Adam chod chida umashal mashal, tell a riddle and tell a parable. And perhaps that means, says Rav Bazak, that there is an obvious and a hidden message in the mashal. The obvious one is about Tzidkiyahu, and that's the one that's explained in the psukim. But the hidden one is about Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. Bnei Yisrael is the tree that the eagle, Hashem, took and planted in the land. Hashem took them out of Israel and planted them to live in Israel. They grew not as vines, but like vines, meaning they were trees, they were arazim, but they were happy with their selves, with their small nation, until they started to look out at another nesher, another eagle, that they said, maybe it's better than theirs. This is other nations and their idolatry. And that was the real betrayal. The first and more obvious explanation focuses on their national betrayal, the casual use of Hashem's name, not understanding what Hashem wants for them politically. And the second, more hidden explanation focuses on their religious betrayal, their complete distance from Hashem, not recognizing the good that Hashem had done for them in the past and continues to do for them. Both of these explanations work together to explain why Uparashti alav rishti v'net pashbe mitzudati v'heviotihu bavel v'nishpati ito sham ma'alo asher ma'albi in pasukaf. I'm going to spread my net on him being Tzidkiyahu or B'nai Israel, and he shall be trapped, and I'll bring him to Bavel, and he will enter judgment. I will enter judgments against him because of this terrible sin that he sinned against me, and he's going to become a fugitive, and he's going to have to run away, and everyone will be scattered to the wind. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem dibarti, and you'll know that it is I, Hashem, who spoke. Yechezkel, unlike Yirmiyahu, cannot affect political change in Israel. He cannot, from his Babylonian home, convince Tzidkiyahu not to rebel against the Babylonians and keep his brit. He will also have a hard time convincing the Jews of Eretz Israel to keep their brit with Hashem. But that's not really Yechezkel's job. His job is to be a tzofeh, a watchman. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem dibarti. You will know that it is I, Hashem, who have spoken. When it happens, you will know that Hashem spoke, that these actions are deserved. You have been unfaithful and now you're being punished. They are not random. And with this understanding, you can rebuild a new and a better society. Thank you for learning together Le'iloi Nishma Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.